to the Lord for all he has done, his mercy, his grace. John chapter 10 tonight, I'm going to do a little verse by verse here. And this passage of scripture, I do a message from this, talk about the voice of a stranger. A lot of voices out there today. But this passage talks about Jesus Christ being the door of the sheep. And I had to hear a note that in Palestine, back in the day, they said it was infested with a lot of wild animals and so forth, and they would build a sheepfold. It would be a common area from all the farmers had in common, and the sheep herders, so they said it had about a 10-feet high wall. And I'm going to read now. It says, when night fell, most of the shepherds would lead their flocks up to the door of the sheepfold, through which they passed, leaving their sheep to the care of the porter while they went home or sought lodging. At the door, the porter lay guard through the night, ready to protect the sheep against thieves and robbers or against wild animals which would climb the walls. In the morning, the shepherds returned, and the porter would allow each one to enter through the door, calling the sheep which belonged to his flock. And the sheep would respond to his voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. Only the sheep that was familiar with the shepherd's voice would come out from the sheepfold. I often wonder about that, and I always put that in the context of the rapture. How's the Lord going to call us, his people, individually? And about the time I was studying that out, I was issued a pager for my work. And when that pager went off, I was the only one that it was sent to. God knows his sheep. The Lord knows his sheep. And when he calls our name, we're going to know his voice when he calls us. Verse 1, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. He that entereth not by the door. Well, we know from verse 9 that Jesus Christ is the door. And the context here indicates that the sheepfold is probably has a reference there to Judaism. The Lord was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, if you recall. The thieves and robbers here are probably pointing to the Pharisees spoken of in verse 9, or chapter 9. Some other way that the Pharisees chose is indicated by their testimony, their lack of abiding by their scriptures or methods, their message. And spiritually speaking, we know that no man can enter into the kingdom of God except through Jesus Christ. The only way into heaven is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about those Old Testament saints? How they get to heaven through Jesus Christ. If you remember the 3 days and three nights, the Lord said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Remember what he told the thief on the cross? He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. The Lord went down. There's a verse that says he preached to the captives in prison and preached to the dead. The only place that those verses work is when he preaches to those Old Testament saints that were safe in paradise, and he presented his credentials. That's a term Pastor Jack Grigsby used to use. I like it. When he showed up there in paradise, he presented his credentials to all those Old Testament saints as to who he was. He was the Messiah, and guess what? They trusted in the shed blood, finished work of Jesus Christ right there in paradise and were raptured out. There's no other way except through the gospel, Paul said. That's how we get to heaven. Some other way is what religions are consistently trying to portray another way other than through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The sheepfold represents safety and peace for the sheep. And it looks like this group of Pharisees took or stole from the things of God and set themselves up as the door. A lot of denominations do that. They'll have a spin. That's why the Bible talks about a stranger's voice they will not hear. You can take a set of facts and you'll get one story from CNN, you'll get another one from Fox News, you'll get another one from Newsmax, and another one from this one, from CBS or NBC. They spin it however they want to spin it. As Bible believers, we try to we say that the buck stops with that 1611 King James Holy Bible. We don't try to correct it or revise it or tell you a better rendering ought to be this. We simply compare Scripture with Scripture and try to come up with a context. That's what Nehemiah said. Nehemiah said, Nehemiah 8:8, they read from the Scripture distinctly. I think that's a word it uses, Nehemiah 8:8, and gave the sense. That's the context. Who are they talking to? At what point in history are they? Who are they talking to? At what time? The context. They gave the sense of it, and they caused them to understand it. That's what we do. The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Is it talking to the Jew under the law? Is it talking to the Jew during the tribulation? Is it talking to the church? Who is that scripture? What is the context of the scripture? And who is it speaking to? It's all for you, but it's not all written to you. Did I have that backwards? For you and to you. I get that confused sometimes. But we need to know if that Bible is speaking dispensationally to us in this age. And an example of that will be where it says that to be saved, you have to endure to the end. That's talking to a tribulation Jew. The church is not even here when that verse applies. The church has already been raptured out, been caught out. But in that dispensation, the Jews, they can't receive the mark of the beast or the number of his name. So there's scripture that applies to the Jew that may or may not apply to you. Some other way. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now the shepherd of the sheep here is clearly the Lord Jesus Christ. By the door, Jesus was legitimately presented to Israel as their Messiah and their shepherd. His credentials, he had the virgin birth for his credentials, a proper lineage from the tribe of Judah. He worked the works of his father in John 9:4, and there's further credentials we will see here in verse 3. But the Lord met every demand of the law as a proper sacrifice. He was without spot, without blemish. And the door was open to the legitimate Messiah, who then became the very door himself, whereby all must enter. If you're going to get saved, you have to go through Jesus Christ. Buddha won't get the door open for you. Buddha is not the door. Hare Krishna is not the door. Mohammed is not the door. To him, Jesus Christ, the porter openeth, and the verse 3, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. The porter was the doorkeeper here who vouched for the identity of the shepherd. And many commentators here believe that the porter spoken of in the context is the Holy Spirit of God, who identified the Lord to John the Baptist and who had prepared the way of the Lord. John the Baptist introduced the shepherd to Israel. In 1:31, he says that he should be made manifest to Israel. That's why John said that he was baptizing. John's baptism, he said, I therefore come baptizing to manifest Christ to Israel. That was the purpose of John's baptism. That he may be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing. Now the door was the legitimate and appointed entrance into the sheepfold. And this figure meant that the Messiah came by the road that Old Testament prophets had lined out. They'd given all the prophecy. I think there were 40-something specific, 42 specific details or 48. I don't recall the exact number now. Specific details about the Lord's coming. And every one And those details were prophesied by over 40-something prophets over a period of over 500 years. And every one came to pass right on the money. A fellow one time did a study of Hegel's law of probability of the odds of that occurring. It was like 1 to the 57th power with I don't know how many zeros behind it. Almost impossible for that to happen, statistically speaking, by the laws of probability. But they every one came to pass. Look at Isaiah 53. I've shared that, tried to point that chapter to some Jewish friends of mine over the years. They're not much interested in that chapter. They rejected. So the porter presented the shepherd to the sheep, and not only had the prophets borne witness to Christ, but in addition, when he appeared, the Holy Spirit announced him, and the forerunner John the Baptist heralded him, introducing him to Israel. And beside that, when the true shepherd of Israel was manifested, the sheep recognized his voice. The true sheep were known to him, for when he called, they knew who it was. Remember the story of Eli and Hannah? Not Eli, yeah. Well, Eli's in the picture, but they keep calling him, was it Hannah? Is that the right context? And she thought Eli was calling. And after about the third time, she jumped in, ran in, and said, "What do you need? What is it?" Eli finally thought that she was drunk. It was the Lord called. Is that how it worked? Samuel. Eli. I had the story right, just had the actors in the wrong place. Samuel and Eli. That's how it worked. Ah, Hannah was the mother of Samuel. I'm starting to set. Well, let me move on here. Just keep me straight in here tonight, Gerald, on these names and dates and times. Religious Pharisees were thieves and robbers. And this group was spoken of in 2 Timothy 3:5. It speaks of them as having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the blind beggar was a sample of the flock. He refused to listen to the voice of strangers. He nevertheless knew the voice of the shepherd. In that story, he was drawn to the shepherd. He found salvation. He found security. And he was given his sight. And that is pictured by the blind beggar. And it's the response to the word of God that leads a believer to Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. There's power in the word of God. John 3:34, the Bible says, "For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God." Anytime I deal with someone about their soul, I use the scripture and I let them read it themselves. Especially young people. I don't want them to say that some man told me this or some dude told me this or that. No. Here's what the Bible says, so I show it to them. Another reason I do that, because I know there's power in that word. The Lord said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The Bible says that of itself. There's a spirit in that book, so you've got the presence of the Holy Spirit in that word. They read that word, they've got one witness, the Holy Spirit, that's in the word of God. And then the Holy Spirit indwells me as I witness to them, so you've got two witnesses. Let every matter be established by two or three witnesses. So we've got that covered. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It has an effect. It gets the job done effectually. The Lord's voice today is heard through the Holy Bible. It's witnessed by the Holy Ghost to the ears and the hearts, witnessed by born-again believers who preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Verse 4 in our text says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. There it is again. And here's the verse from this message that I do. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You know, just from personal experience, most of those news programs I don't believe. I won't watch CNN 30 seconds because I know I'm going to get very little truth. It's going to be mostly spin how they want it to come forth. And I don't hear them. I'm not interested because I know where they're coming from. Each sheep distinguish the voice of their own shepherd, and that's the only one they would follow. Now, I can call my dog, and he'll come to me. He may or not, may not come to you. But the Lord's sheep know his voice. Matthew 24, we see that there are a lot of strange voices calling the sheep. A lot of strange voices out there today. They come from every circle and every scope of religionists. Come go with us. Do this, do that. Believe this, believe that. And it normally involves works. It's a works religion set up that we're faced with today. You need to do this, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, whatever, in order to be saved. Matthew 9:9, it says, and as Jesus passed by forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. The Lord had quite a draw in himself. There's a great power. I know some preachers that I respect thought that when the Lord's present, that power was very, very strong. You know, a fisherman would leave their nets and follow him. They knew who he was. And he arose and followed him. In Luke 19:5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus. Remember the story of Zacchaeus, little Zacchaeus? He's a fellow that went out on a limb for God so he could see him. And he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Now, I've witnessed to people, sometimes they receive the Lord joyfully and sometimes they don't. I've dealt with people just in the last 2 or 3 weeks that they weren't sure, they didn't know. And so what do? You sow a seed. You let the Word of God do what it does. Let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. You just give them the witness of the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says. I don't normally point them to creation, the witness that God gave in creation, the witness of a man's own conscience. And let the Holy Spirit deal with that heart. John 1:43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Power. Lazarus, come forth. Power. When the Lord rose from the tomb, they said that that evening some of the graves were open. Out of those Old Testament patriarchs walked into town. The power of our Lord, the power of his resurrection. So here in our text, we see pictured kind of a picture of the rapture, where the Lord calls us home. Said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, when this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? We hear his voice. We'll know his voice. It's not a stranger's voice. Come up hither. Our Lord will step out on a cloud and he'll call my name. Come up hither. It's a voice that I don't know. When he calls my name, I don't know it. Verse 6 in our text says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Now the revisers have removed the word parable from the text. Go figure that out. You know, parables are not always easy to understand. That's why it's called a parable. And that's the same old religious crowd. They don't have a clue. The Bible, the Word of God, to much of the world today, it's a closed book. They don't try to understand it. They don't want to understand it. A lot of them run from it because they run from the light, because their deeds are evil, the Bible says. And men refuse to recognize Jesus Christ as a shepherd, as their shepherd. They don't want anything to do with his shepherd role in their lives. The Bible said, for without faith it is impossible to please him. And verse 7 here of our text said, then said Jesus to them again, unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Now, the door of the sheep here stands in contrast to the door of the sheepfold in verse 1. Christ here is the door. The door that can bring them out from the bondage of the law, from Judaism to liberty. Escort them to green pasture. And Romans 3:20, the Bible says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. It was tough getting this crowd away from Judaism. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Paul said, I had not known sin except the law said, thou shalt not covet. Galatians 3:23, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up into the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Here in our text, verse 8, it says, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. The true sheep don't hear that other crowd. Just like you turn your TV channel away from those news that you know what they're going to say before they ever say it. And you don't believe it to begin with, so you don't listen to them. That's the same with me with a 300 different Bible versions out there. I'm not interested. That's not my authority. I have one authority, and that's this old black Bible that the Holy Spirit used to win more souls to Christ than all the other 300 put together. So I'll trust it. That's my final authority. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Now these false teachers are spoken of throughout Scripture. Bible says, woe unto the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, said you blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? John the Baptist told this crowd, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Apostle Paul said, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves unto the apostles of Christ. A lot of folks trying to do that today. Peter said, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Jude said, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, and wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now, this crowd often have followers. People will follow them. And you remember the Jim Jones thing? Where everybody had drank the Kool-Aid and he killed I don't know how many of the cult. My cousin, Tim Chapman, was a photographer for the Miami Herald. He was one of the first, he was the first reporter there on the scene, and a guard let him get through that crowd to photograph all that tragedy. And I think he scooped everybody by hours and hours. He had his photographs for on I don't know how many magazine covers around the world in just a day or so. He had in those days you had to transport the film. He had a helicopter standing offshore, picked up the film, and they scooped everyone, but it changed his life, seeing that crowd following that man, cult leader. They have followers. They think they're following God. A lot of folks think they're following God, but this crowd, the Bible says, is thieves are thieves and robbers. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. But a Bible-believing Christian won't listen to them. If it don't line up with the Word of God, it's not of God. If it contradicts the Word of God, it's not of God. They have an illegitimate authority that they're following, and it's usually done under the guise of religion. Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. All right, what do I have here? Seven things enumerated by this verse. I am the door. Christ, the only way of salvation. It says, by me, if any man enter, Christ gives the power to enter. It's through his power. If any man enter, Christ the Savior, for the Jew and Gentile alike, any man. If any man enter in, Christ appropriated that by an act of faith, single act of faith, says he shall be saved, and he delivers from the penalty and the power of sin. In the future, we'll be delivered from the presence of sin. But it said he shall be saved. Don't say he might be. You've got God's word on it. He shall go in and out. Christ frees us from bondage and find pasture. Number 7, Christ will fill every need, satisfy every need that we have according to his riches and glory. I'll read Numbers 27:15. It says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Verse 10 in our text, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The abundant life can't be found in a legalist system. Touch not, taste not, handle not. It can't be found in the bondage of the law. Abundant life is found in following by faith the shepherd, Jesus Christ. He'll take care of every need. I'm planning retirement. I'm going to try to live on Social Security and a few bucks beyond that, and it's stressful. How am I going to live? Well, when I got saved, Jesus Christ obligated himself to take care of me. Shall not my God supply all of your riches according to his, supply all your need according to his riches and glory? So I'm going to trust him. I've trusted him this far. He's never let me down. I'm going to trust him in the future. Abundant life is found in following by faith the shepherd, Jesus Christ. No comparison between the old life of guilt and shame, new life of liberty. My, out from the bondage of that sin that held me down. Now this verse about the thief may ultimately, I've got a note written here, refer to the Antichrist. He's the last false shepherd of Israel, has always walked in his always been in religious circles. Antichrist, you don't find him in the biker gang, you'll find him in the Bible study. He works through religionists. He's always used religion to steal, kill, destroy. I'll read Zechariah 11:16. And I'm almost done here. It says, "For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idle shepherd." And notice the spelling in your King James Bible is I-D-O-L. Not I-D-L-E, but I-D-O-L. An idol, a shepherd of idols. The idle shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm. Here's a picture of the Antichrist. A sword shall be upon his, the sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. That's one of the things that we look at in a possible Antichrist. Does he have those characteristics? Now, immediately following this verse about the thief, Christ says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." There's a bad shepherd, and there's a good shepherd. My. We have a shepherd that we follow, and that's Jesus Christ. He's our only shepherd. We don't divide our loyalties between Jesus Christ and others who may want us to follow them. Paul said, "Be followers of me as I follow Christ." I understand that, but we don't follow a man or a group. We follow what saith the Scriptures. It's our final authority. And I've found over the years that hillbilly Baptists don't take too much dictating to. Some man tries to tell them to do that. It'd be tough to get an old country Baptist crowd to follow somebody into drinking a Kool-Aid laced with poison. But they're out there, and there's people out there that'll follow some of those birds. Watch out for that. We have one shepherd. And he'll never guide us into anything that is contrary to the Word of God. Do you know that shepherd tonight? If he calls your name, will you know it? Maybe he's calling your name tonight. Maybe you're here and you've just never made that step by faith to trust Jesus Christ. Be a good time to get that out of the way. I wasn't sure about that young man that I buried today, 38 years old. Wasn't sure about his salvation. It's hard to write up a message about somebody and you don't know whether they made it or not. His dad assured me that the boy was saved. I pray that he was. And I didn't come into contact with this boy much, but then I went on a little guilt trip. Why didn't I? If I'd known, maybe I could have gone and witnessed to him, tell him about Jesus Christ. There's people around you that have never heard about Jesus Christ that may be looking. They need to know, whether they know that they need to know or not. All right. I'm done. Everyone stand up tonight.